There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish, John Katsalomitas. I write the Cats Report, Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, LasVegasSun.com, and I contribute to all sorts of titles in the Greenspun Media Group because I'm so easily bored. My dear co-host, beautiful as always, is Tricia McCrone. Tricia, how are you doing?
Hey, it's safe to say that I am sleeping.
It's 8 a.m.
I am sleeping.
It's 8:01.
I am not awake. Only my voice is here. I can't remember the last time I've seen 8 a.m. It's safe to say. And so is Wayne. I'm not with me, of course, but Wayne Newton, I bet, is sleeping as well.
He's probably sleeping.
Two of the three people, voices that you've heard on this 8 a.m.
show. I pretend
show.
Like it is the morning and we are sleeping, and I'll just say this. Can you hit snooze again?
Hey, okay, let's just go with that
Can you snooze again, please?
Oh, goodness. goodness.
With each other.
With each other. That's an inside joke.
We have a new time slot. That's no time slot. That's my sister.
Which you guys obviously know, but if you're expecting to hear whatever used to be on at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's not.
Let's face it. You're not awake either. So let's just quit pretending out there.
Yes.
We're just doing this show for Steven. Our producer.
Exactly.
And I think he left. No, there he is.
I don't think he's gone. I think
saw
he's
a swiveling
gone
chair in
he
there.
Either.
He fled for his life.
Exactly.
It's finals again. He keeps saying it's finals. So anyway, yeah, new time slot, a shortened version of the show, an abbreviated compared to what we were used to doing. It was an hour. Now it's
yeah,
a half
it
hour,
hour,
which will help save our central
yeah,
nervous
exactly.
systems, I
it's
guess.
Gonna, it's going to help us out a lot. And plus the fact our TV show that was on the
yeah.
weekends on Vegas TV is a half of an hour.
Matches everything's.
So everything is kind of working.
Symbiotic, as it were.
It is.
I want to plug something, by the way.
I
usually don't write specific or talk specifically about what I'm writing, but there's a story that I wrote for the cover of Las Vegas Weekly this week about Mike Tyson. He's the cover of the story that I think is worth a read.
My former neighbor. Really,
yeah, your former neighbor over there in Tomiyasu.
Yep.
Family asked about you. I've had two visits over there, and Kiki, his wife, and Mike had told them about you and wanted to make sure that they sent their best along to the Newton family, their former neighbors, and wanted you to come to the show. Undisputed Truth, April 13th through the 18th at MGM Grand. It's quite a story, mostly because of Mike Tyson. He's very open. And just a somewhat chilling in areas interview that I did with him, I won't soon forget. So anyway,
well, I read your Las Vegas Sun.
Yeah, this is a different story.
It was fascinating. It was I remember contacting you saying it was such
yeah,
a great story.
You know, it's funny because I did that interview and yeah, right, and heard from some people, and I'm like, you know, the good stuff is. There's a lot more to it. I'll just put it that way.
There's no duplication in the two. And
stories.
I have to say that every time he used to just him and his friends just used to kind of jump the wall over to Shenandoah, and the security knew that that was okay. Obviously, Mike had full reign because Mike and Wayne are friends,
and
so it'd be kind of funny. Yeah, I would like kind of look around. I'd be like, oh yeah, there's Mike Tyson again. You
what
know?
Was he so doing back there? Was
he liked to watch the horses. He liked to walk around. He liked to do his thing. But before I forget, speaking of my family, I have to wish, we are taping this
yes.
on Wednesday, the 21st of March, because, again, I am not up at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. So it is my sister Kat's birthday. Kat Newton is finally old enough to drink, 21. No, she is she's an incredible sister, lovely, beautiful, brilliant lawyer, and just
she is.
One of the most, I aspire to be just half the woman that
formidable,
she is.
Formidable, beautiful woman. I say this all the time, one of my favorite people I've ever met is Kat Newton. She's an amazing woman, and a happy birthday for me, too. I sang to her.
I heard, yes.
Last night.
I've been here all day, so I haven't had a chance to have her play it for my hope. I'm sure she has it still on the phone. So
it's better to be loud than to be good.
Yes, and okay, well, I'm sure you're both.
That's true of singing also.
Well, in that case, I'm loud, so I don't ever need to be good because I'm probably the loudest person I know.
Can you hit snooze?
Yeah, there you go. Let's hit snooze. Okay. But we had a fun week because we have a really good group of guests today. Once again, I'm surrounded by men, but work-wise, I mean. And so we went to the opening, the meeting night of Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys, one of our favorite shows.
Yes.
Collectively, we love
yes.
the show.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I could see it all the time.
Yeah, I can see it every night. I love it.
Yeah. And I owe you a public apology for being snippy about you being late.
Okay, it was Final Four or whatever it is. It's March Madness, and it was St. Patrick's Day.
You're home watching hoops and drinking green beer with
your
mother.
No, I was driving. The traffic, it took me 40 minutes to get there, and it was crazy. It was crazy
nervous.
Traffic.
I was nervous, but it wasn't that big a deal. Great show, whether you show up at the beginning or two accents.
I literally, they closed the doors, and I had to wait five minutes for it to
anyway,
go in.
No big, right. No, ain't no thing, but a chicken wing.
Yeah, tell everyone I'm late. Go ahead,
Kat.
No,
I'm saying I'm sorry that you were, okay. That I was saying you were late.
Yeah.
But now I brought it
up. My mom hasn't forgiven
so
you. Okay. I'm just kidding. No, she loves you.
Good God.
Okay, so let's talk about our guests.
Jersey Boys are in the house. We got Devin May. We got Jeff Lebo. Rob Barnhart.
Marnell.
Rob Marnell, I mean. And Rob Marnell, who's the new member of the cast, whose name I've tripped
next
on it.
Next week it's My Metropolis.
Stick around. Jersey Boys are up next. I know we will.
Hey, I'm Jake Pavelka with Chippendales over at Rio Las Vegas. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. Yeah!
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are three members of the stage show Jersey Boys. This is, of course, the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. The show opened in 2008 at the Palazzo and has since moved to Paris, Las Vegas, where it started this year in January. Welcome to the show, Jeff Lebo, who plays Nick Massey.
Hello.
Devin May, who plays Tommy DeVito.
Yo.
And the newcomer to the Vegas cast, Rob Marnell, who plays Bob Gaudio.
How's it going?
Very well. Thanks for coming in, gentlemen. Saw the show the other night.
Yeah, I have to say, I'm really lucky being the only woman here to have four really hot guys in the same room.
Is there a fourth?
Six counting our camera crew,
six.
Of course.
My gosh.
But no, this is, you could be
it
like,
screams
you
orgy.
Could pretend that you're the fourth Jersey Boys.
I have been pretending.
I know, you've been doing the choreography for forever.
Actually,
so.
I was told I was the sixth Jersey Boy. Is that right? There's two?
Sure.
Seventh? I don't know how many there are.
Your skills and numbers are amazing.
I got the steps down. And I'm not kidding. So you're at the Paris Las Vegas. First of all, one thing that hasn't been really made clear to me is why the change from the Palazzo, where you're doing really well, one of the best shows in town, sold well, to Paris Las Vegas. It was a beautiful theater at Palazzo. Everything seemed to be working. What, from the cast point of view, why did you make the change? First, Jeff.
Honestly, we only know what we were told, that we were going to make the move. The end result from our perspective is that Caesars has been incredible to us.
Mm-hmm.
They have welcomed us with open arms. All the casino staff have been great. We actually one of our PR events, we came out and there was a flash mob made up of Paris employees doing a dance to Oh, What a Night.
Oh, how great.
Wow.
They've also, they've been great. And the new house is amazing. It's very,
yeah.
What we like, I think we've all said rock and roll, just mm-hmm. because of the sheer size of the stage.
Right.
And so why we moved, I'm not 100% sure, but do we enjoy the end result? Absolutely.
What's it like, Devin, for you guys to be in the middle of a run that's going really well, and all of a sudden you're there's an announced venue change and a break in the show? How does that affect you as a performer when you have to face that?
Well, the end result of the opportunity that we had when we got to close the show down and have a hiatus, so that was a nice 6-week vacation,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people did need just to go take care of some things. But what it did for us as a cast, because we got to rehearse
mm-hmm.
with our creatives, and they took us to places that we didn't get a chance to go to before, especially as a cast, since we had so many additions and add-ons
mm-hmm.
in a show like this. When someone leaves, you do a put-in, which is where everybody gets on stage. That the person who is playing the new role is in costume and everything, but we, are out of costume. We're doing one
mm-hmm.
actually at the end of this week. But what it did for us is it gave us new connections. It gave us new things to play. It gave us it reinforced some relationship things that might have gotten lost
mm-hmm.
in the few years of run. So I think it really improved the show. It really mm-hmm. improved the ability for us to perform this show at 115%.
Now, Rob, since you are kind of the newcomer
yes.
to the group, was it hard coming into a cast that had been pretty much, they've already gelled because they've been working together
right.
for so long? Was it difficult kind of being the new kid on the block?
You know, it actually wasn't at all.
Oh, there wasn't any hazing or anything?
Yeah, there was a couple. I'm still getting over.
You're still sore, aren't you? Jeff. It's not over.
Many,
big girls.
Physical and emotional
don't cry.
Scars I'm dealing
exactly.
with. But no, it actually was... It actually
walk
was
like
amazing.
A man.
Not after that.
Rarely. Yeah. Sorry, Rob.
Sorry, Rob. Yeah, we'll let you answer.
We dovetailed it.
No, they made me drink 2 gallons of sherry. And
there's my
little 2 cents. But don't
bump.
No, it actually was amazing. The first day I got here, people, you know, were saying, you're becoming part of an amazing family here. It's an amazing cast. And everybody was so welcoming. And I was the only new guy at that time. I came in by myself. We had a new assistant company manager. Dina came in around the same time as me. Mm-hmm. But everyone was so awesome and so welcoming, and this really has been one of the best casts I've ever worked with, as far as, like, you know, group cohesion and just people kind of, you know, they accepted me right off the bat, despite me being a total weirdo.
No, Jeff, you've been in since day one here in Vegas, so I have to ask Jeff, because you've seen all these guys come in.
Yes, I have.
So would you agree with that? Is this the best cast, or are you kind of like, oh, well, of course you kind of have to say that at this point, right? I mean, you're not going to say, well, except for Devin. Yeah,
everybody says that.
I plead the fifth. No, I'll be honest with you. We all benefited from this break. I mean, even the same people that we worked with, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when we were closing at the Palazzo, are different people. I mean, yeah. 6 weeks off does amazing things for morale.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you get to take a deep breath, you get to take care of some business you need to take care of, or you just spend 6 weeks relaxing, whatever it might be. And then there was an infusion of new people who are all so excited to be part of the show, including Rob. I'll say nice things about him on the radio, at least. But including Rob, I mean, and also some of the other people, and they're excited to be part of the show. That energy is, you can feel it in the cast. And between a very well-rested cast who had already been here and this infusion of new energy, I actually think it's safe to say that this is absolutely the best cast we've had. Because we're all excited to make this show the best it can be, and we have a new venue to sort of start fresh and make that happen.
But right. Now, is it? Because, I mean, we've had 3 Frankies, I'll just call them, 3 Frankies on the show. We actually kind of had dueling Frankies with Graham and Travis together. And they were telling us all about Frankie Camp and all that kind of stuff that they have to do to go through it. But now, I mean, I would think that every time that someone steps into the role of Frankie, that obviously the dynamic between you guys has to change. Is that difficult that you have 2 Frankies at all times?
No, I would say as an actor, it's kind of a neat challenge. I mean, they're not identical in any way, shape,
or form. Yeah, because I was going to say, I mean, three of them play it, and they all play it kind of differently, to me, at least. So is that difficult to have and then, like, switch over? Like, if you have a 2-show night that you have to... You have 2 different type of relationships going on with the...
Yeah, you absolutely do have different relationships. Not only different relationships, but physically. I mean, they might stand in a different place. They might move at a different time. They might look a different direction.
Might actually drive to the Palazzo.
Exactly.
They showed up at the wrong theater.
Someone showed up at the Palms.
Oh, my God, love it!
I was with him last night.
Of course, so we're talking about Rick Fania now at the Palms.
But it is a challenge.
Another good question about this, and I was going to ask you guys about this, because those who have left the show, Rick, Eric Bergen, felt like they'd kind of run their course in this cast. You know, they needed to do something else with their creative energy. How do you guys, are you aware of that, or do you feel it, and how do you deal with that when you're doing the same role repeatedly over several months and in some cases several years?
Well, I mean, we all have the great fortune of having, you know, some time to spend on other projects. I know that everybody has something else going on, whether it be charity or a jam band or knitting or quilting, like Rob.
Jam band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
jam
knitting.
Band, yeah.
Simultaneously.
We make jam. And
you golf.
I golf. I also have a production company called Taco Nights. Yes, I plugged it. And
what do you do with your production company? What are some of the things that you
produce? We do event planning. We do web design. We do photography. We also have we do staffing. So it's all getting off the ground. The website will be up actually probably by this weekend.
Well, my birthday's coming up, so if you want to plan my birthday.
That would be great.
Actually, that's an event.
We did a food fight. We did a food fight last week, or a couple weeks ago.
Well, that probably wouldn't be good for me, but
come on, it'd be fun.
But the point is that you have to keep yourselves occupied somehow.
Yeah, I mean, would you get tired of having to say the same lines every single night?
Exactly, that's what I wonder. Yeah.
Every show is different. Yeah. It really is. And you know, what Jeff was saying about the new venue, it you feel right on top of people, and they feel right on top of you. It's a much more intimate setting, even though it is more rock and roll.
Wow, on top of people in an intimate setting.
I mean, I like to get on top of people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
knew this interview was going to go
this direction.
The script
really did change.
Wow.
Well, this you started it off with the whole orgy thing.
Maybe I'm the only girl here again, but I'm taking this different ways.
Not maybe. You are the only girl here.
Wow.
The stage.
Speak for yourself, Katz.
I tried to. We had talked about this before the show, and it was reinforced when I actually saw you guys on the stage comparing it to the Palazzo. It is wider. It is a different feel in that room. It's wider.
It's got more girth.
Stop
it. It's got more girth.
I can't.
And it's like 16 feet wider. You can join it. You can rejoin us later.
I'll be recovered. Back later.
And scenes play differently. They do. You can tell. And I just want to know how it is now that you've had a period of time to deal with it. Are there going to be other changes, any tweaks? I've heard talk of maybe a more populated stage in some scenes, that more other actors are going to be in there to fill in spaces. What's happening with that?
From what I understand, the show isn't changing. I mean, the show, just like any live event, I mean, whether it be theater or otherwise, it's going to change night from night, but not that drastically. I think I think we're, especially because we're still new at the new venue, that the show's going to be changing a lot for us, because we're trying to find a rhythm with, you know, the new Frankies and with new cast members and with a new stage and a much wider house to play to. Those are kind of changes will happen. But I mean, I heard some of the talk about, you know, more actors on stage. But
I have too. Yeah.
I've also been reassured that that probably isn't going to be the case. But then again, this is theater, so anything can happen.
One Frankie for each side of the stage.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I'm like, all of a sudden there's the fifth four season coming. They're now the fifth seasons.
I want to see a Frankie fight. I do.
We had a little Frankie Palooza here. I was trying to get some friction going on, but Travis and Graham were too nice. They wouldn't. I was trying to get a little battle going, but it didn't work.
How is your character, Devin, I ask you, because you do a lot of speaking directly to the audience through the script. You carry the show in many ways that way. How is what you do different in Paris compared to Palazzo? Do you have to speak in different directions? Do you have to move more? How is that for you?
Because of the 12 feet of extra space, 6 feet on each side of the stage, it does change the way you move and when you land, you know, where you land and what you're saying. At certain times, you know, when you're speaking, when you're giving one of the direct addresses and it's a funny line or it's a line that people would laugh at, you know, being able to stop and take that in, you know, it takes some adjusting. And so we have that staircase on the right side, which is the bane of my existence when it comes to, you know, giving to certain lines, getting to certain places, because there is that extra little, space. But as far as the audience is concerned, I love the Paris stage because I don't feel removed. I feel like I'm right on top of people. And I feel like you have the ability to really connect, and you can hear the audience better. You couldn't hear them at the Palazzo as well, but you can hear the little reactions. You can hear the you know, the little knowings that people have, because this show is so identifiable to people, because we all have, you know, people like, you know, Nick and Bob and Tommy and Frankie in our lives, whether you realize it or not. When you see the show, you realize these things. And I love to hear those moments of recognition during a time, either when I'm speaking and I can hear it, or when other guys are talking. Or when something is happening on stage. And so I really love that about the new space.
You mentioned you two play living members
of the Four Seasons. I was just about to ask the same question. I'm like, this doesn't apply to you, Jeff.
If you're hearing from Nick, that's a whole different
Exactly. Deal. that's really an interview.
But Bob Gaudio especially is still deeply involved in the production. Do you directly hear, either of you, do you directly hear from the people you
I've
portray?
I've seen pictures of you and Tommy on the internet when I was doing my research.
On that World Wide Web?
Yes. Mm. On the thing they call the newfangled thing they call the internet.
She Googles.
I myself haven't had many exchanges with Bob. Really, only in my final callback in New York is where I met him. And you know, I met him at the very end of the audition, and I was a little nervous. And I haven't really talked to him in depth about the show and his character and. I mean, him.
But, you know, he's playing character. Bob Gaudio, too.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
His real name is John Scatchels. No, but
the eighth season. But, yeah, I'm just wondering how it is to have somebody like that who's so prominent not only on stage but involved in the production in general, who's got a vested interest in this thing. You know, what did he tell you? What did he have to say? Did he have any advice for you? Any suggestions?
Well, comments? You know, at the time of the audition, you don't really know at that time whether or not you got it or whatever. So I actually have not talked to him since I've been cast. But one thing he did say, they said, you know, this is Bob, by the way, down here. And I ran over and I said, it's such an honor to meet you. And Yeah, I had a guitar with me because they asked me to bring in a guitar and they were, you know, seeing my musical skills or whatever. So I played a couple songs and so he said, throw that guitar away. And I was so nervous. I said, yes, sir, I will, right away. You know, not knowing what he meant. And he's like,
so you left. Putting it in the trash can.
And he looked at me.
You left the room.
Yeah.
Went to the nearest dumpster.
Exactly. And he said, because I play piano. I don't play guitar. So, you know, that was kind of like, oh, well, what did that mean? But anyway.
Now you know.
But I mean, is there any way that there could have been, I understand with the Frankie, I think it's more of a physical type of a thing, but is there any way that roles could change?
I'll be honest.
You know what I mean? Like one day you could be Nick and then in another production, you know, you're Bob. I mean, could it happen?
When I first auditioned for the show, I was given sides for literally every character except for Bob and Frankie. And when I walked in the room, before I even spoke a word or introduced myself, the casting director looked at me and said, give me Tommy's sides. You're not Tommy. So I think they have very clear thoughts about who they are. Hmm. Could I get up there and read the lines and act it? Sure. Am I appropriate for Tommy? No. Will I ever be Tommy in another production? No. Will I ever be Frankie? I'll be honest with you. I lied on my resume about my height when I first auditioned, hoping that I would be. But I'm very happy.
What was the difference? You lied down?
I lied down. Yeah.
Of course,
yes. Well, in the original breakdowns, it said up to 5'9" for Frankie, and so I thought, okay.
You're like slouching over.
You also did the whole audition in falsetto, right? You
read everything. Strangely enough, I did. Yeah. That's cool. So, in their minds, no. I'm Nick, and I'm nobody else.
You're lucky you didn't get the role because you'd have to talk like that for the rest.
I wouldn't be speaking outside the theater.
Yeah.
So did you guys have to go to camp like Frankie camp?
No, that's a Frankie thing.
Yeah.
Only Frankie. Didn't have to go to Tommy camp.
No, Tommy camp. Well, unless you call it just going to the crap tables.
Well, yeah. I was going to say,
that's what we call the casino floor. Yeah.
He's got to, I mean, does he still live in Vegas?
Yes.
Now, he's got to be a trip. I mean, having known nothing about him other than what you portray on stage, I would think he's got to be one of the most fun guys to hang out with.
Well, thank you.
It's all because
we're talking
of you,
about
Devin.
Tommy.
I know, but you know, listen back, Cats. You'll hear what she said. Play it back.
Devin, basically, you look like the most fun guy to hang out with in the entire city.
Wow. No, you know, Tommy does live in Vegas. He splits his time between Las Vegas and New Jersey. And he is a really great guy. He always has a story. He always has a joke. He's always pulling faces and things like that. But at the same time, he's a very centered, very wise man who's been through a lot. You know, he's had everything and he's lost it. Now he's got it all back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really humbled him. He's not the same, you know, sort of brutish person that I play on stage. Mm-hmm.
What's he do now?
He collects checks.
Waits for the cash to roll in, huh?
He actually has been producing music for a long time, and at the moment, I know the last album he produced was a country album. And he actually started off wanting to play country bluegrass music.
Wow.
Yeah, that was something that I found out about him.
I wouldn't have predicted that.
No. Yeah, he's a hick at heart. He really is. But no, Tommy is great, and he'll call me up. He calls me on Christmas. He'll call me on my birthday. We hang out. He'll come in.
Which is coming up April 3rd. I will never forget your birthday.
Yes,
because it's the same
Wayne's
as my brother-in-law.
Birthday.
Yes, Wayne, you share a birthday with Wayne Newton.
And Eddie Murphy.
And Eddie Murphy, yes. And
Virginia Woolf? No, not Virginia Woolf.
No, it's somebody. I think Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
He's really cool. But it's really great to have someone like Tommy come to our production here, and you know, this Vegas is his company. That's what I say unofficially. It's his company, you know, because he lives here.
Mm-hmm.
And he has he has such a big heart. He will invite us over to his niece's house.
Is that a Vegas niece in quotes?
What the heck does that mean?
You
Vegas
know, like
niece.
People always come with, oh, this is my niece.
I have a colleague who will remain nameless. Who a lot with people who are identified not accurately as nieces.
Yes, this is just my niece.
Bloodsucker?
No, these are actually Tommy's brother.
Call him as you see him.
Tommy's brother Nick DeVito lived here in town, and his daughters still live in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Mary and Kathy still live in Las Vegas, and we became close with them. I actually became close with them initially because they were really close with Nick Massey, and I was searching for anybody who could tell me more about Nick Massey than I could find online, which is very little.
Yeah.
And so between that connection and Tommy coming into town and Devin and we've had a number of dinners over at their house. Not always invited by Tommy. Sometimes they actually invite us over their own house.
Outside of Tommy.
Well, that's really cool. Yeah. I would think that would be an amazing thing. But the one thing that I've always asked is sometimes to make it more entertaining, there are poetic license taken. Is the basic story of everything that happened exactly what happened? Or is it like a little bit of fiction in there?
You know, I've seen some interviews with Gaudio, and at one point I think he said it was about 95% true. I think another interview it was around like 88-90% true. So maybe it'll be 50%. No, I'm just
kidding. 73%.
So, for the most part, I think it is. I think they have taken some, you know.
Well, I would think they would have
liberties.
In the timeline of what happened, because like Tommy was with the band until the 70s. And I know Nick left
after only 3 years.
Yeah, the core of the band was only, the group was only together until 1965. People don't realize that.
So wait, so Nick left before Tommy?
Oh, yeah, years.
Oh, whereas in, the basic reasons why they left, like for example, the whole thing with the gambling debt and all, I don't want to give too much away for the maybe one person in the world who hasn't seen the show. Yeah. But
they all died like at the that all happened. Yeah, exactly.
So that all really happened. That was the reason why, and Frankie did what he did with that, Bob.
That actually, there's a little play with that. That kind of, the reason for the debt isn't the same. There was debt, and there were a number of problems that caused the downfall of the group. Yeah. But that particular debt, that being all on Tommy's shoulders, wasn't necessarily the case.
I'll tell you this much. This is what I heard, is that what happened was Norm Waxman, who plays sort of like the bag man who's coming to Tommy to get the money, he had presented to, I guess, their lawyers that they owned the rights to one of the songs.
Right.
That Tommy had signed over the rights, or somebody had given them the rights to one of the songs. It was fraudulent.
Right.
Because it was, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you watch the video, you'll see that.
Yeah, it's a little nose till.
Touching
of the nose till.
But so this was truly a problem, and it was one of those things they couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
And and it did fall on Tommy. And so,
does he mind being portrayed as the way that he is portrayed? Does he kind of take a little, or does he think it's kind of cool? I'll admit, I think it's a little cool, but that's okay.
I think, what was the one thing that he said? I think maybe you know it off the top of your head.
Yeah.
The 3 days running, that thing?
No, you're not talking.
Go ahead. Say it.
No, I've heard Tommy say that, that you know, the story needs to be what it is. I know the truth. I mean, it was something like that.
He's very comfortable with it, but he basically said, "I change my underwear every day."
That one and the sink line is another.
Yeah,
one.
Another one is he's like, "I never in the sink." Yeah, come on, can I say that word on this radio?
We can think it.
Urinate. We do. We'll say urinate.
We need to stop saying all words now.
Wait, before we go, I have a question. Just because I'm here with the men of Jersey Boys and I represent the women of the city, I met your lovely wife the other night at the big press night, the media night. She's absolutely gorgeous. So now you two men, are you guys both taken? Are you single? What is your situation? I ask every man that comes in the show.
I have a lovely girlfriend of about 3 years. She lives in New York. She's actually on Broadway right now, her Broadway debut.
In what show? Let's plug it.
She's in Evita. Her name's Laurel Harris.
Wow.
I love you, baby.
She's gosh, with Ricky Martin.
With Ricky Martin. She is living La Vida Loca with him. And she said he's great.
Really?
But yeah, we're actually high school sweethearts. We've known each other for 11 years.
Very good.
Oh, that's so cute. Devin?
Yes.
Are you single, honey?
Let's just say if it was a Facebook a status, it would be complicated.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
But you know what? Hey, complications bring complications.
Tension.
There you go. Well, that's fun. That's a good little cliffhanger we're leaving this show in, isn't cool. it?
Thank you all for being with us this week. A terrific show. One of the best you will see in Las Vegas
My
or
favorite
anywhere
favorite show right now
else.
Running in Vegas. I'm going to say it right
see
now.
See it every night, but time doesn't permit. Jeff Lebo, Devin May, Rob Marnell, Jersey Boys at Paris, Las Vegas. Thanks again for coming down.